Joining us on the air is a draft analyst for ESPN, a frequent visitor and contributor to the show over the last few weeks, our friend Kevin Weidel. Kevin, thanks for being on with us. Are we? I know this is the busiest time of year for you. Are we driving you crazy getting you on the air all the time like this?
No, Murph, not at all. I'm always happy to help you guys out.
I was talking earlier about how Charles Davis and Daniel Jeremiah are just living on the air on the NFL Network, and it's pretty much the same thing at ESPN with all of you guys, McShay and all you and all the draft experts. I mean, it's pretty much 24/7 for the next couple of weeks for you guys, right?
Yeah, you know what? The College Football Spring Blitz show actually finished up today, so
okay.
I mean, I won't be doing any more ESPNU stuff, but I will do a couple, you know, internet videos here and there. Leading up to the draft, a couple more radio hits, but that's about it. You know, things started to slow down. These last 3 weeks have been really busy, but that show's finished up today. So
that's good.
It was a good 3 weeks.
Our guest is Kevin Weidel. He was a college football quarterback. He was in pro scouting for the Jets. He's been at Scouts, Inc. for the last 7 years, and you can catch him on ESPN and on Twitter as well. If you have comments or questions for Kevin about the NFL draft, phone lines open for the next few minutes, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Kevin, Doug Whaley and even Calvin Fisher were telling us how their work, as far as analysis, is pretty much wrapped up, and obviously their job is different than yours, but are you and your colleagues at ESPN, the draft experts, do you still evaluate players? Do you still kind of grade and look at tape, this close to the draft, just less than 2 weeks away?
Yeah, we'll watch a little bit of tape, but you know what? Most of our rankings are set. We got a couple players in the back end we just got to look at and kind of make sure we haven't, we're not missing anything with a couple guys. I think we got like 20 or 30 guys. We just got to quickly get through. But, you know, at the top of the board, we're pretty much set. You know, the work's done. It's just about a bunch of, right now, we're just a bunch of editing and formatting reports and kind of getting things printed out and getting ready, getting organized. So, you know, it's been good. It's been fun. It's just, it's a long process this year. Last year, I remember, you know, I was doing this show at ESPNU up until 2 days before the draft. Now I'm done, and I got, you know, 2 weeks to, yeah, almost 2 weeks to just kind of, you know, get things ready and get things organized. So, you know, the more time, it's taking a little pressure off us getting work done, but it's also, you know, kind of lingering a little bit. I think I speak for a lot of people where I say, well, we're ready to get the draft going here.
Yeah, we all are. You have a draft board then that you and your colleagues at ESPN, just like a team, you have a ranking list of all the prospects in the draft?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. You know, we have the rankings in an Excel document, and right now we have a stacking the board type document, you know, position by position, just going down the list of every position, you know, guys in the first round, second round, third round, just in order of grades. So, you know, we do it all. We kind of, you know, try to simulate what a team does and go from there so we can, you know, see these guys come off the board and see where we are, you know, maybe a little bit low, a little bit high. But no one knows until, you know, 3 years down the road where you can actually judge a draft pick and get a clear, you know, gauge on their performance and a body of work.
Well, and that leads to one more question before we actually talk about prospects. How do you and draft experts gauge how well you did? Because, you know, teams have their own scouting department. So do you wait, like, say 13 days away after the first round, you can go back and look at how the first round played out compared to what you did? And is that the ultimate gauge of how well you guys did your job, how well your picks match up with how it really went down?
No, you know, and teams do this. I think, Murphy, the thing is that maybe after this draft, and we don't do enough of this, we need to do more. It's self-evaluation, where you missed, where you haven't. It's looking back 3 years. You know, not taking this one, maybe going back to the 2011 first round and see where we had guys ranked and graded and, you know, where we missed, where we hit, why we missed on the guy. Was it character? Was it durability concerns? Was it something we didn't know about? Or, you know grading-wise, do we see something that we should have saw, or did we grade it the wrong way? So, you know, I think teams do the same thing. They kind of look back and have some reports and have scouts go back and look at, you know, evaluations they've done. So I think that's one of the more important parts of the process in terms of growing as a scout and learning. You know, learning from your mistakes and learning what's also playing in the league. What's sticking in the league? What type of player at that position is sticking in the league, playing in the league right now? So, you know, I think all of those studies are really, really helpful in terms of, you know, just becoming a better overall scout and talent evaluator.
Yeah, we're on the line with Kevin Weidel. He is a draft analyst for ESPN. Phone line's open for your comments and questions, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Hey, Kevin, you had a tweet the other day that caught my attention. You said, the Bills have nailed the second round in recent years. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I think going back to it, let me pull up the document right now, but, you know, going back to it, they've done a great job in the second round here. You look at it.
I mean, Robert Woods and Kiko last year.
Robert Woods, Kiko Alonso last year. I'm looking at it right here. Okay, Cordy Glenn, 2012, offensive tackle, you know, starting left tackle right now. Aaron Williams, drafted as a cornerback, but adjusted to safety. You know, same thing with Jarius Byrd. You know, they found two good safeties out of that. Offensive guard, Andy Levitre. You know, so he started every game he's played so far. I think the only one out of the seven picks that was a flop was 2010 defensive tackle Terrell Troop out of Central Florida. So, you know, they've done very well, and teams that can find those starters and contributors, that's what you want to get on day two, and especially in the second round. You want to find starters in the first and second round. That's where you can find it. And overall, if you can find three starters in every draft, three, you know, solid starters in every draft, that's a successful draft. And most teams average, what, seven draft picks per draft. So, you know, if you can hit on, you know, less than half, then it's a good draft. That's what people don't understand. This isn't exact science. Guys fizzle out because of production. Guys fizzle out because of injuries, you know, character, you know, maybe suspensions, whatever. There's always certain things. So, you know, I think Buffalo's done a really good job the last, you know, 3 years with their second-round picks.
We want to talk to you about tight ends tonight, Kevin. In particular, the guy who's been at the top of the tight end list since the whole process began, Eric Ebron of North Carolina. Can you give us, first of all, kind of your thumbnail analysis of Ebron and what sort of an NFL prospect he is?
Yeah, I've really had a chance to watch a lot of Ebron, to be honest. I watched some tape coming into the year. You know, he was thinner. And then I saw him three times this year play live against Boston College. What was the other? Oh, against Miami, where he had an unbelievable game. And then the first game of the year against South Carolina. So, you know, the first thing, you know, just showing up and looking at Ebron against South Carolina, first game of the year, you could tell he was developed. He had gotten bigger, especially up top. You know, he looked thick. He had a great-looking frame in terms of athletic, muscular you know, thickness throughout his frame, and then, you know, athletic is the one thing that would stand out about Ebron. And, you know, he had a good game against South Carolina, but that Miami game down there in Chapel Hill on a Thursday night, you know, he had 199 yards, eight catches, and a touchdown. There wasn't much that Miami could do to stop him. You know, he was attacking the middle of the field, one-handed catches, catch and run, showed the burst after the catch to get into the end zone and pull away from the defense on a long touchdown reception right there in the second quarter. So, you know, to me, he's the biggest weapon, and he is alone in the top tier of what is an overall kind of underwhelming tight end class in terms of depth. And I think he's the biggest weapon. This is, you know, so if this is the year to get a tight end, Ebron's certainly the one you want, and that's why I think he's going to go higher than, you know, expected. But overall, I think he's a notch below a Jimmy Graham type. You know, he has his types of drops. He will have drops for you, but he also, not many tight ends can create the big plays that he can. So you got to give and take with that. So, you know, to me, Eric Ebron is a big-time weapon, not going to provide much in the run game. You know, he can develop in that area, but right now he's not much of a run blocker. But I think if you're drafting him, you're using him as a weapon down the middle of the field, guy you can even flex out in one-on-one coverage and can go win those one-on-one battles, and can create after the catch. So, to me, Eric Ebron, certainly, I think, by far, in a way, the top tight end in this class.
I have read about the drops. I don't know. Tell me what this stat means. I think I know what it means. A high drop rate, 11% assigned to him, I guess the highest. What does that mean?
You know, 11% of the ball thrown to him, he's dropped, you know, so he's got some in traffic at times and maybe some focus issues, but, you know, he also can make some amazing catches. You look at the Georgia Tech tape, the touchdown catch. He goes up with his left hand and extends and kind of, you know, cradles the ball and double catches it, but it's a one-handed catch. The Miami game, he opens up, you know, ball's behind him, turns, opens up his hips, plucks another one with one hand behind him. Almost had another one in the Georgia Tech game that it was another one we had to open up, but the safety came in and hit him right away on the tape. So, you know, he's the type of guy that's going to have some drops, but he's also going to be able to make those big plays that only a few tight ends, I think, in the league can make. So to me, he's a big time weapon in the passing game, and like I said, if you need a tight end, this is the guy you want.
I did, and again, people are always poking holes in these prospects, especially when there's so much time before the draft.
Yeah.
I did read this about him, and I'm curious to get your take. Somebody wrote that his competitiveness, Ebron's competitiveness, was underwhelming. Is that fair?
I think it's you know, not fair. I think it's a little bit, you know, unfair. You know, there's some things you could maybe as a run blocker can contribute a little bit more. But you watch the pit tape on the they have a punt return. You know, he's playing on the punt return unit. He makes two blocks to spring Switzer for, you know, one of the touchdowns that punt returns. He had two that game, and that actually won the game for them. So, you know, he can contribute on special teams. He's a guy that's, I think, tough after the catch. And, you know, he's a guy that's got some swag to him, as they like to call it, Murph. You know, he's confident in his abilities, and that's what you like in a player. You know, I want guys that are confident and they can go out there because, you know, confidence breeds success in my mind. You know, the more the player goes out there and is confident, especially with receivers, cornerbacks, you see Richard Sherman, these guys are confident in their abilities and what they can do. So, you know, you kind of like that a little bit about him. So to me, I really don't have too much problem with his competitiveness, and I think it's kind of a little bit of unfair criticism.
Huh. Kevin, as you mentioned, the talent level at tight end drops off considerably after Eric Ebron. There is one prospect I just want to hear you talk about, and that's the Oregon kid, Colt Lierla, who it seems has a world of talent and a number of problems that he's got to address. Is he draftable still, despite the issues that he's had?
I would have a tough time drafting him. Using the draft pick on him, Murph, like seventh round maybe.
Really?
Take a flyer on him. He is talented. You talk about, you know, I had a chance to talk with Mike Bellotti. I see him down at ESPNU during the fall a lot. And we've had some conversations about Colt Lierla. And he told me, and just think about all the athletes that come out of that Oregon program. And think about all the athletes that were in that team the last 2 years. He told me, pound for pound, this guy is the best athlete on that team, the most explosive athlete on their team. And you see it on the tape. You know, he's a guy that's, after the catch, he's competitive. He will run through you. He'll stick his shoulder into your chest. He's a guy who can go up and play the ball down the field. He's a little bit raw as a route runner. And it's a shame because this guy has all that talent, and he is a train wreck off the field. And I put that kindly. I'm not getting into too many details, but to me, there's a lot of stuff and a lot of red flags with him. You just have to wonder how accountable he'd be being in your locker room, and would he be a big distraction more than he would he be a bigger distraction than he would helping the team is the biggest issue that I would have in my mind with Colt Lierla. But certainly he'd be up there. I think he'd be the number two tight end in this whole class if he was clean off the field, just in terms of overall ability. So it's a shame. And you see that with players, but sometimes you just have to cut ties and kind of go the other way.
Hey, Kevin, thanks. Get some rest. Hopefully we get a chance to talk again next week as the draft approaches. We always appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Sure, Murph. Anytime, man. Take care.
All right. Kevin Weidel, he is a ESPN draft analyst. You can catch him on Twitter. You can catch him on ESPN.com. He does outstanding analysis of all of these prospects. He wrote a story this week about the declining value of running backs. Maybe we'll talk with him about that next week when we talk to him.